Open your Bibles, will please, the book of Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. Am I ready? Acts chapter number 1. Find your place in the Word of God. We'll read in just a moment and then bring the message I believe the Lord would have us to in the service tonight. I appreciate the good testimonies, and I do appreciate the message on the gospel. Amen. You know, one of the things about getting old and still think some, and I was thinking the other day, Brother Plato, you know, the Lord just kind of works some things in. And words that I've used all of my life, I got to thinking about them. I thought about the word faith. And don't doubt me, I want to say this. But I asked myself, what is faith? Well, I have a Bible answer. Substance of things hoped for. Evidence of things not seen. But what in the world does that mean? Can you explain that? And I realize faith is something you hold in your heart, you can't hold in your hand.
Right.
You can't hear with your ear.
Right.
You cannot see with your eye. You can't explain it.
Right.
But you know it.
Amen.
Settle that. And then I thought about the gospel. This one said, I thought about the gospel. You know, I believe this Bible all these years. I'm not changing on that at all. But I got to thinking about what is there about the gospel that gets a hold of a wicked sinner and all of a sudden puts in them a desire to be saved by the grace of God. And I was just pondering this, and my mind went to Romans chapter 1, verse number 16, where Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And he gives a reason why. It is the power, the dunamis, the dynamite. And when the gospel gets in a hardened sinner's heart, it explodes. When it's ignited by the Holy Spirit, it explodes. And burst open, Brother Troy, the hardness of the sinner's heart.
Yes, sir.
And then puts in them that good seed, the Word of God, that springs forth into everlasting life.
Amen.
The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it not only means the power, means the dynamite of God, but it's also the dynamo. Boy, this is good preaching. That means it keeps you going.
Yeah.
Don't just start and stop. It keeps working.
Right. Amen.
It's still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Somebody said, Brother Blue, you said you were saved when you was 9. How do you know you believe? I still believe.
Right.
How do you know you repented when you was 9? I'm still repenting.
That's right.
Amen. I'm telling you, I don't have a dead religion. It is a power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Good to be back, Brother Shepherd and church. Thank you for allowing me to be here and be a part of the meeting. Thank you for praying the broadcast and all that goes on there. I appreciate it so very much. Pray for the harvest time broadcast. God would bless it and use it, and the Lord's will be done. I just celebrated 25 years of daily broadcasting. Finished 25 years. I've been 16 here on harvest time. Then when I pastored, I spent 9 years and the bread from Bethel, from our local church there. So a third of my life almost, I've been preaching daily on the radio. And I don't say that to boast. That's a lot of responsibility. You pray God will help me to finish this thing right. Whatever His will is, that's what I want. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. I feel like the Lord had me to spend some time in Acts. Acts is not a doctrinal book as far as church doctrine is concerned, but it's a tremendous book on missions.
Yes,
I really believe the first 12, well, even first 20 chapters are the Bible textbook on missions.
Amen.
There's other places we feed from, but we learn the Acts of the Apostles as they acted under the power of the Holy Ghost
right.
In those transitional days and the reaching out with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, most of you could quote it. The Bible said, Christ said, just before He steps on the cloud and goes back to heaven, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost part of the earth. Keep your Bible open, let's bow our heads and hearts for a moment of prayer, then the message from the Word of God for this evening. Our precious Heavenly Father, again tonight at the throne of grace and mercy. In Jesus' name, I bow before you in prayer. Father, I do want to say thank you for the joy of salvation. Lord, I want to thank you one more time. You let me be born in America, the land of Bibles, the land of churches, the land of Christians, the land of preachers. Lord, all of my life I've had access to the Word of God, to the house of God, to the people of God, and to the man of God. Lord, thank you for these blessings upon me. Thank you, our Father, for the privilege to be back here in this place with this pastor and the people that are present in the service tonight. Others will be coming in. Lord, I pray with Isaiah, oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that mountains may flow down at thy presence. Lord, you know my heart tonight. I want to honor you. I want to help the people. I pray you enable me to do so. I know within me that is within my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Lord, I need you tonight. Lord, help each of us to be like young Samuel. May we just simply say, speak, Lord. Thy servant heareth thee. Talk to me tonight. Talk to others, dear Lord, in the service tonight. Say that you want to say and do what you want to do. And for what you do, Father, I give you praise, honor, and glory. Because I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Do keep your Bible open, please, this evening with a message for tonight from the Word of God. I'm not just talking about getting old, but I am getting old. But the older I become, I know Brother Sutton, Brother Larry, Brother Plato, and several of us are in this same category. Brother Hall's a little bit behind us there, some of us, maybe some others. But the older I become, the more pressure I feel to deliver the message of God that God has birthed in my heart. And to help others get a hold of the truth that they can carry on the work after I step off of the scene. One day you'll meet here if the rapture don't take place and I will not be here. And that'll be true for others as well. So I'm going to go back to the book of Acts tonight and just share some things tonight and tomorrow night, maybe both, as the Holy Spirit directs us, maybe three nights. But I want to just look at missions in the book of Acts. And beginning tonight, I'm preaching again the message that I have in print on the tragedy of missing missions. The tragedy of missing missions. In the book of Acts, chapter number 1 through chapter number 11, you'll find there are two churches involved. One of them, the great church at Jerusalem. The other, the church at Antioch. But there's a situation that develops there, and the great church at Jerusalem becomes a late church because it ignores the Great Commission. And because of missions, the unknown church at Antioch becomes an eternally known church in the work of God. I still believe that missions will be a determining factor on God's blessings continually on a church anywhere. I don't care where it's at. You honor God's commission and God will honor your church. Now, as you study the book of Acts, and for some of you who have not read the book or not heard this, this may be new to you, but you study the book of Acts, and you'll discover that the church in Jerusalem is not recorded that they received one mission offering. It's not recorded that they supported one missionary. It's not recorded they sent out one missionary. They majored on building a monstrosity by majoring on miracles, money and multitude at Jerusalem. Can I say what I want to say? And their attitude to missions in the Western world was, well, we got to look out after ourselves. Right. I want to tell you, that's not God's plan, looking out at yourself. Right. If Christ had looked out at himself, we'd be on the road to hell. It's God's plan that we live for others and give that others might live also. So I'm going to run through this tonight, and you preachers understand what I'm saying. I'm preaching a message that's not easy to preach. I'm going to kind of leave you hanging a few places the first little while here, and it's hard to do and keep you with me, so stay with me. I am going somewhere. It's just a long haul getting there, and I don't plan to preach real long, but this first part, you've got to listen, and sometimes you can't listen and say amen both at the same time. So stay with me, all right? In Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, if you're making notes, I want you to know here we have God's plan for the church. And I want to emphasize by saying God's plan for every church.
Amen.
God's plan for every church. Three things in this verse. First of all, there's a prerequisite. God has already told them and recaps it here to stay in Jerusalem until they be endued with the Spirit of God. Until they be filled with the Spirit of God. Until they receive power from on high. And may I say to you, that's a principle still needed today. Nobody needs to go serve God that's not full of the Holy Ghost. You'll do more damage than good. But stay put till the Holy Ghost gets on you. There's a prerequisite God gives to that church. Then number two, I want you to notice not only there's a prerequisite, but there's a plan. God said, when that happens, you shall be witnesses unto me.
Right.
Listen to me. He did not say you might be, you ought to be, you could be. No. When a person gets full of the Holy Ghost, they will be a witness
right.
of the resurrected Lord. And by the way, if you're not being a witness, you're not being filled. But number three, there's not only there's a prerequisite, there is a plan. But thirdly, there is a place. He said, you shall be witness unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and into the uttermost part of the earth.
Amen.
Now please hear what I'm saying. And preachers, let's don't be guilty of this. I have been, but let's don't be guilty of it again. It does not say Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, and then the uttermost part of the earth, one following the other. But the word both means both at the same time. God said to them, reach Jerusalem. But while you're reaching Jerusalem, get somebody going out into all the country of Judea. While you're reaching Jerusalem, Judea, get somebody going over to Samaria. While you're reaching Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, then get somebody going to the uttermost part of the earth, both at the same time. So I would say with a hesitation that it's God's will that every church be busy with what we call home missions and foreign missions, both at the same time. God's plan for the church. Number two, I come to chapter number two, and we know this. I'm not going to read and spend time here. But we don't need another Pentecost. Because we got everything we needed at the first one, or the last one here. The one in Acts 2. There's three things or four things that happens at Pentecost that is what the church still needs and needs to do in our day. You say, what was it, preacher? Well, let me just tell it to you. You see, they were endued with the power, so they were filled with the Spirit of God. Everybody with me? And when a man of God gets filled with the Spirit of God, there'll be an automatic chain reaction of three other things. Number one, he starts expounding the Scriptures. We are not Spirit-filled preachers if we spend our time with all the jokes and the humor. And I'm not against something like that on a part-time basis. Some of it may be. But I'm telling you, a Spirit-filled man of God is not looking to please the social world. Or not looking to please the brethren. But open the Word of God and preach. Thus said the Word of God. And so they will feel the Spirit of God. And they expound to the Scriptures. You know, Peter finds himself in a spot. You'll have to think if you haven't heard what I'm fixing to say. Peter does something at Pentecost he's never done before. None of the other apostles have ever done it before. Come back tomorrow night and I'll tell you. He preaches a Bible message. Now, as far as I know record, that had never happened. You see, they were preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the king's here. They're magnifying Jesus, magnifying, manifesting Him. But now then Jesus is gone. And the Holy Ghost led Peter, and I can lead you and me, to the book.
Amen.
And Peter started expounding the Psalms and preaching Christ from the Word of God. And any Spirit-filled man will do that. And by the way, that still works in our day.
Amen.
So you got a man who is endued with the Spirit. He's expounding the Scriptures. He's exalting the Savior. And when that happens, There'll be the exclamation of the sinners. Meaning, brethren, what shall we do?
Amen.
That still works in 2019.
Right. Amen.
Now come to number three. Not only is there God's plan for the church, chapter 1, verse 8, God's preparation of the church, chapter number 2. But in chapter number 3, we run into what I'm calling God's problems with the church. Now, the problem was not on God's weakness, not on the part of God's weakness. The problem was on man's unwillingness to be obedient to the Word of God. It's man's part, not God's part. But there's a problem. And by the way, God's had a problem with every church. Somebody said, I'm going to find me a church and join it. Not got any problem. Don't do that. You'll mess it up.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
But look at it if you will, please. First of all, this is where I'm going to leave you hanging a few moments. So just stay with me. Trust me. I may be old, but I'm not senile enough. I don't know where I'm going, where I'm at. So I think I know what my name is. And so come with me on this. First of all, I want you to notice they have a miracle problem. Now look at me a moment. Let me make a statement. I believe God can still do anything He ever could. I have no problem believing the Bible story of the creation. God stepped out of nowhere onto nowhere, took nothing and spoke 8 times, let there be, and everything He said come to pass, and is still in existence today because of the power of the Word of God. I believe God can work miracles. I remember preaching one time on Jonah. And I preached on, I believe Jonah swallowed the whale. I was talking about, I believe God. And one of my points was, I believe Jonah swallowed the whale. Well, what's the problem? Well, some of the members followed me right along and amen. But anyway, no. But anyway, I believe God can still do it. But having said that, look at me just a moment. I am scared to death of people who major on the word miracle all the time. Don't talk to me about your miracle ministry. You're a miracle church. You're a miracle people. Yes, God's a miracle God. But I'm telling you, you magnify the Lord Jesus Christ and not the miracle part when you're doing what God wants you to do. But they have a miracle problem. You say, well, that ain't out. Most of you know the story in Acts, so I'm not going to take time and read them. But in Acts chapter number 3, we have the story of this lame man that's laid there at the gate all these years. You remember the story? Peter and John are headed to prayer meeting, the time of prayer. And they approach that man and he asked an alms. And Peter said to him, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And Peter reached down and took him of the right hand. And he began leaping and walking and running and jumping and praising God. And can I do this just a moment? I'm nervous on doing this, but let me do it. I want you to imagine for a moment you worked on the job with a member of the First Baptist Church at Jerusalem on the morning after this prayer meeting. If you work on the job with a good Christian, you don't go back to work the morning after church very long, do you? Ask your good Christian friend, what happened at church last night?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I asked my friend that's a member of the First Baptist, what happened at First Baptist Church at Jerusalem last night? He said, man, I tell you, we never had a meeting like we had last night. I said, well, tell me about it. He said, you remember that lame man that lay out there by our gate all them years? I said, yes, I remember him. He said, our preachers, Preacher Peter and Preacher John, were about to enter the building. And he asked an arm and said, Peter just kind of stopped. John said, wait a minute, John. Said to that man, silver and gold have I none, such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ. And as rise up more, Peter took him right in. And that man made about 4 laps around the sanctuary in the First Baptist Church in Jerusalem. We've never had a meeting like that.
Yeah.
Amen. Miracle problem. Miracle problem. Well, you come to chapter number 4, and they arrest the preachers. Haul them in. And I hear about it on the news. So I said to them, what happened in church last night? I heard they arrested your preachers. What happened? He said, oh, have you not heard? Boy, our miracle church prayed, and our miracle God sent the power of the Holy Ghost on our miracle preachers. And I'm telling you, they reared back and let them have it. And Peter pointed his finger at them and said, I might obey you or God. And they threatened them and let them go. We got a miracle church, a miracle God. Now you come to chapter number 5. This time they do arrest him. They put him in jail. But then God comes down there. And let me visit my friend the next morning at work. I said, what happened to your preacher to hurt to put him in jail? He said, I'll tell you, our miracle church started praying. Our miracle work, and God opened up prison and told him to go back out there and go to preaching. And they did that. I'm telling you, we got a miracle church. First Baptist in Jerusalem. Hang on, I'll be back, all right? Not only got a miracle problem, but number two, they have got a money problem. Now, most Baptist churches, or many Baptist churches, have money problem, but not like this one has. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Look at your Bible in chapter 2, verse number 43. The Bible said, and fear came upon every one of them, and upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and they sold their possessions and good, and parted them to all men as every man had need. Look at chapter number 4 and verse number 34. Here we have a personal example. Neither was any of them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the things, the price of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made among every man, unto every man according to his need. Then he gives us a personal illustration. And Joseph, or Jose, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now look at me just a moment. Can you imagine going to work the next morning, saying to your friend, what happened last night? He said, I'm telling you, you ain't going to believe this. Not only we got a miracle church, but man, we got a money church. He said people started selling their possessions and bringing them in and laying them down at the preacher's feet. I'm telling you, he'd never been to Faith Baptist camp. So he said, I never saw an offering like that in my life. We got a miracle church. We got a money church. Of course, now, a money problem. If you know the Bible, chapter number 5, money's mentioned again. But can I say this? When you talk to your friend on next Monday, it's going to be quite a different story. Barnabas stood up. Can I just say it like we understand it? Barnabas stood up on that Sunday, preacher, and said, preacher, all this money's come in. I want to give more. I've got a piece of real estate I'm going to sell, and I'll bring it and give it to the church. As far as I know, that never happened before. Woo! What an offer. Well, the next Sunday, Barnabas brings it in. Can I just use language we understand? They started Sunday school and took Sunday school off from Brother Hall, and here comes Mr. Barnabas down the side. Rather slowly, walks up and dumps it at the preacher's feet. Peter said, what's that, Barney? He said, that's the price of that property I sold, and I'm giving it to the church. Boy, it got on. It always gets on when you start giving like that. Amen. And about that time, he said, you know that couple that sits way back? Well, I'm not going to say where they sit. I don't want to point at nobody. But that couple sits back there, named Ananias and Sapphira. You ain't going to believe this. But Ananias stood up and said, if Barney can do it, we'll do it. Of course, next Monday, I meet my friend and he's kind of quiet. I said, well, what happened last night? He said, what happened, man? Well, did that fella Ananias sell that property? Yeah. Did he bring the money? Come on, tell me, man. He said, you ain't going to believe this. Said, Preacher Peter was up there, like it was with Barnabas the Sunday before, and Ananias come down there and dumped down a pile of money at Peter's feet. And you ain't going to believe what he said. Preacher Peter looked at him and said, is that all it brought? Ananias said, that's it. I said, well, what happened? Come on, man, what happened? He said, fell dead. Yep. Dead? You mean graveyard dead? Graveyard dead. He died. I'll tell you what else Preacher Peter did. He didn't even call off Sunday school. Yeah. He just formed the First Baptist Burying Committee and started the First Baptist Cemetery. Yeah. And buried him Well, we lost two men, but well, a little bit later his wife came in. Somebody said, here's Bible proof it takes a woman longer to get ready to go to church than does a man. I don't know if that's true or not. But 3 hours after Ananias gets there, Miss Sapphira comes in. You're talking about a dilemma. Her husband left home early, she wanted all that money. And she gets to church and can't find him.
Yeah.
She goes to Preacher Peter. Yes, ma'am. Have you seen my husband? Well, he was here earlier. Did y'all sell the property? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. How much did it bring? She told him. He said, why is you let Satan tempt you to lie to the Holy Ghost?
Right.
If you'll listen, I hear the footprints of them that are coming to bury you that just buried your husband.
Right.
My friend said, so, we lost two members, but we sure got a good offering. They got a miracle problem. They got a money problem. Number three, watch this. And I got to speed up. In chapter number 1, verse number 14, they've got a multiplying problem. Would you let me do this? Let's have a break the record month of Sundays. That's just, you know, we're going to set apart a month. We're going to break the record. So the first Sunday, first time it appears, Brother Plato, they got 120. Second time it's mentioned, they baptize about 3,000.
Right.
You come to chapter 4, verse number 4, and the number of men is now about 5,000. I mean, you got 120, you got 3,000, got 5,000. Then you come to Acts chapter number 6, and the Bible don't count them, it just says a multitude.
That's right.
You know what multitude means in Georgia? A bunch of them. So, they go from 120, 3,120, about 5,000, and then a multitude. I'm telling you, that would embarrass the big boys.
Yep.
You say, preacher, I've listened to you, and I don't see a problem in any of the three things you mentioned. All right, look at me just a moment. What did the Great Commission say? What did Jesus say before he ascended? The Holy Ghost is going to come on you? And he did not say you'll build a monstrosity in Jerusalem.
Right.
He said, ye shall be with... Listen to me, I'm not being mean. I don't care how great your program may sound, how good it may look in the results. If you're not honoring the Word of God concerning the Great Commission, don't expect God to honor you long. The Church of Jerusalem majored on multitudes, on money, on miracles, but they forgot missions, and God cuts them off, as we'll see in a few moments. Now then, look at this. Number 4, there's the plan. There's the preparation. There's the problem. But now that you come to chapter number 6, and I want you to see the persecution. God, oh, listen to me. I'm so convinced of what I'm saying is true. God will not prosper a church long without problems and without persecution when they dishonor God.
Right.
Do we still believe that?
Yes, sir.
We saw so little of the judgment of God because we've got so much compromise in our churches that we don't even know if God will do it anymore or not. But to walk in direct disobedience to God's Word is asking for trouble.
Yes, sir.
Now, if you know your Bible, you've got to admit by the time you come to chapter number 6, things are looking pretty good from a human standpoint. I mean, they've gone from 120 to a multitude. But wait a minute. They've got all this money. Barnabas laid his down. Ananias and Sapphira gave theirs. All the other. What are they going to do with it? Now, listen to me just a moment. If we ignore God's plan, it's common human nature. We'll develop our own plan. You know what their plan was they developed? Let's feed our members. I'm not against helping hungry folk. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm just staying with the text here. And so they go purchase a bunch of goods. Or bring them in from their home. Can I just say they set up what you and I call a food bank or a food pantry?
Right.
And the membership comes and partakes of the groceries And they like it. Yeah. I would too if my church bought my groceries. Yeah. One day, Preacher Peter and Preacher John's in the study, if I can use that term, and they hear a noise coming out of the basement they wish they'd never heard. The shrill voice of an upset lady said, "It ain't fire. She got more than I did. I'm going to go tell Preacher Peter." Preacher Peter looked at Preacher John and said, "We better forget about this and get in the Word. And so, you know, we've got to give our time. We'll turn this over to somebody else." There is a disturbance over the distribution. I'm telling you, God will not bless your work long if you ignore the Great Commission.
Right.
That's His heartbeat. That's the heartbeat of God. That's the health of the church. That's the hope of every creature. Missions is carrying out the Great Commission. And so they said, "Let's look at 7 men and point over this business." I'm not going to try to start an argument, but Acts 6 says nothing about deacons. 6 men over this business. The business of benevolence. Distribution of that food. Y'all got real quiet when I said that. I'm just going to leave it there. You can do what you want to with it. You do at least know I said it's there, all right? And so, leave it there. But listen. And so, they look out 7 men and put over the distribution of the food. Now I want to stop here and ask you 2 questions I cannot answer. I wish I could. I really don't think you can answer them. But at least I hope you'll remember them for a long time. Brother Shepherd, I wonder what would happen instead of setting those 7 men over that money if they'd have sent out them 7 men with that money. By the way, only one of those men are ever mentioned again. And he's not a deacon. He's not now a caretaker of a benevolence committee. He's Philip the evangelist. Maybe one reference made to another one of them. I wonder what they could have done if they'd have done what God told them to do.
Right.
Witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth. So there is the disturbance over distribution. In number 2, and you know this, I'm not going to do it, but there's the death of a disciple.
Right.
Stephen dies.
Yes, sir.
Can I say this? I'm telling you, Brother Shepherd, I wish somebody could help me answer what I'm fixing to say. You see, if that church had a mission program, there's a good possibility Stephen had been on the mission field and not being stoned at Jerusalem. I wonder, did Stephen die a premature death because his church didn't have a mission program? I'm a preacher. I can't answer that. Bro, help me. I can't answer that. But, man, I'd like to know. One thing about it, if he had been on a mission field, he wouldn't have been up there debating with Saul. I'm simply saying to you, there's a death of a disciple. There's a disturbance over distribution. There's a death of a disciple. Then there's a dread of the disciples. The other disciples saw what happened. Look at chapter 8, verse number 1. Chapter 8, verse number 1. The Bible said, "And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was great persecution against the church." Look at the next line. The rest of that, which was at Jerusalem. Can I add a word for emphasis, please? I'm not changing the Bible. Which was still at Jerusalem. Acts 1:8, God told them to get out. Acts 8:1, they're still in Jerusalem with their money, their miracles, and their multitude. I'm saying to you, there's a dread. God knows how. Can I make this statement? Don't blame persecution on the devil.
Right.
The devil knows persecution causes prayer, that causes purging, it causes power, and brings revival. Study history. God uses persecution when the church will not do what God told it to do. That's one reason the churches of our day are so persecuted. We got self involved instead of souls involved in the work of missions. Well, there's a problem. There's a plan. There's a preparation. There's a problem. Then I want you to come with me, please, to the fourth thing. The fourth thing is persecution. And then the fifth thing, I want you to see God's performance. Oh, well, let me point out one more thing before I leave chapter 8. I stopped. Look at the first verse of chapter 8. There was, which was at Jerusalem, and they were scattered abroad throughout all the regions of. Tell me them next words. You remember hearing them anywhere? You see, they didn't have to pray about where to go. They knowed where they're supposed to be. If persecution on the church got real in America, I'm telling you, it'd be amazing, Brother Troy, where men of God across this country that's lived a luxurious lifestyle would go to take the gospel, fleeing the fear of persecution. Come on, say amen. But when they got the church out of Jerusalem, number 5, I want you to notice there's a performance through the church, God's performance through the church. Look at chapter 8, verse number 4. So as persecution come, the word got scattered. And they therefore that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Now they may be running in fear instead of on faith, but God can use a man either way. Now look at me. I've got to skip some, but I want you to stay with me. Not only the word got scattered, but number 2, the wicked got saved. Come on, let me borrow your memory just a moment. Stay with me. Chapter number 8. Verses number 4 through verse number 6. We're not look at it, look at me. He goes. Philip goes down to Samaria. What happens? Revival breaks out. The Samaritans get saved. Now look at me. You know, so the latter part of chapter number 8, you remember what happens? While Philip's having that good revival in Samaria, the Spirit of God, the angel of the Lord said to him, can I do it? Hey, Phil, head south. Yes. You see, Philip had been through one round of persecution. You ever go through one round of persecution, you won't want to hang around for round number 2. I mean, God will break you from sucking. God will just break you from being disobedient. Philip, run! And he goes down to the desert, Gaza. What happens? The Ethiopian eunuch gets saved. Look at me just a moment. Let's communicate. Chapter number 9, what happens? Tell me out loud. Saul of Tarsus gets saved. Chapter 10, what happens? Cornelius. That's it. Wait a minute. Look at me just a minute. You know what I just said? You know what I just covered? Brother Shepherd, there are 4 groups of people that I just mentioned. First of all, there is the Samaritans in chapter 8. Then there's Saul of Tarsus. Then there's, there's Ethiopian, there's Saul of Tarsus. And then there is the household of Cornelius. Do you know what that is? Brother Troy, when God showed, say, these 3 men, He reaches all the way back to God's ethnic division from Adam's 3 sons. When He saved Saul, He saved a descendant of Shem. He saved the Ethiopian eunuch, He saved a descendant of Ham. He saved Cornelius, He saved a descendant of Japheth. Are you hearing what God's trying to say to us? They didn't have to go into all 4 hooks and corners of the earth. No, when the church got to obeying God's commission, God started saving them, can I say, everywhere. Amen. And a shabbat from the Bible, they, the open eunuch, went back down there, and people were saved in Ethiopia, and Saul of Tarsus had a desire to win the Jews and tried to win them. God called them the Gentiles, and Cornelius had revival in his household. And so I'm saying to you that God used the obedience of the church to start saving sinners. The word got scattered, the wicked got saved.
Amen.
Look at your Bible again just a moment, please. Acts chapter number 11, are you still there? Acts chapter number 11. Verse number 19, it's like we back up and take another look. Acts chapter 11, verse number 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them also were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus, and the hand of the Lord was upon them, and there a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Now look at me just a moment. The word got scattered. But watch this. The works got started. In an unevangelized field of Antioch. Anybody hear what I'm saying? As far as I know, Brother Shepherd, no evangelism ever going on there. But when the church starts obeying God, the power of God, Brother White, will get on somebody and they'll go find somewhere, or there's some people,
amen,
and start preaching. And if they do, the hand of God's going to be with them.
Amen.
And if they do, somebody's going to be saved.
Amen.
And when they're saved, God's going to birth in them a church and unite them and bond them and band them together in a fellowship of believers that's known as a church. So now then the word got scattered, the wicked got saved, and works got started.
Amen.
Just because the church obeyed the Great Commission. Number four, look at this. Not only the words got scattered, the wicked got saved, works got started, but in chapter number 11, verses 27 through 30, the wealth gets shared. The Bible said in verse number 27, and it came, and in these days came prophets from, am I ahead of myself? The wealth got scattered. The hand of the Lord is in my stomach. I lost my place in the verse. Acts chapter number 11. In verse number, there it is, Acts chapter 11, in verse number 27, the Bible said, and also, and in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and they stood up, one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should come in the land, which came past in the days of Claudius Caesar. Now look at verse 29. And the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren which were in Judea. Did you catch it? This is the same crowd that five chapters back had money piled around the preacher's feet. But they chose to ignore the Great Commission and do their own thing. And can I just use an expression? I don't think it's disrespectful. But God cut the supply off. God cut them off. I tell you, I preach in a number of churches more than I want to count, Brother Farrell. That'll see 300 and 350 and 400 people that used to be on fire for God, and they've done exactly what I'm talking about tonight. They did away with their missions, or they never got involved in missions, and now then there's a building with 300 seats in it, got 25 people.
Yep. Right.
Most of the time the old pastor's left, they got a new one in, and he can't figure out what's going on.
Yes.
I'm telling you, folks, I don't know how to say it, but God's not playing games when it comes to this Great Commission.
Yeah.
Not playing games. But there's something that enters me there, and maybe again somebody can help me. The Bible said they sent money relief to the brethren which dwelled in Judea. Now wait a minute. Look at me just a moment. I believe I read in this Bible where God's no respecter of person. My question is, Brother Chris, I wonder why they didn't send some money down to the Samaritan church. Well, why they didn't send some money down to the, let me get my mind working here, down to the Ethiopian church. Well, why they didn't send some money down to the church at Cornelius' house. Why did they just send them to Jerusalem church? And by the way, this drought's in the whole world, how come they got some money to send anyway? I believe I can tell you, at least help you. You see, the church at Ethiopia, the church at Samaria, the church at Ethiopia, the church at Cornelius' house, the church, I'm missing one there, the church at where we're at here, at Antioch. Brother Herbert, they had not willfully ignored the Great Commission.
Yeah, right.
And God will take care of us when we roam ignorantly. With lack of knowledge. Come on, you can say, I'm talking about staying ignorant. But I'm telling you, when you know what God said and you go against God, you're committing spiritual suicide.
Yes, sir.
The wicked got saved. The word got scattered. The wicked got saved. The workers got started. The wealth got shared. Chapter 13, and I'm through. Aren't you glad I'm not doing all 28 chapters? Chapter 13, finally. And I hope to pick up here tomorrow night. Just mention this and pick up here tomorrow night. Finally, the workers got sent. Now, I want to challenge you, and I challenge with an open heart and open mind. If you can find me where there's a missionary sent out of the First Baptist Church at Jerusalem, I would like for you to point it out to me in a Christian way. I cannot find one. I cannot find one. They ran on chapter number 8 in fear. They go out in fear. But now look at chapter 13. Now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, the names of a bunch of them. Verse number 2. And as they ministered and prayed, as he ministered to the Lord and fasted, Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. You don't know how bad it hurts my heart to say some of these things, but they are weighty on my soul. But Shepherd, I cannot find one place that the Holy Ghost ever spoke to the church at Jerusalem again after Pentecost. It did speak to Philip to go south. Angel Lord, I believe that's Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, when a church willfully ignores a great commission, God will quit talking to that church.
Right. That's right.
I ask you a question, what kind of church would it be if God wouldn't speak to it? But the First Baptist Church at Antioch are willing to listen to God, and God says to them, separate me, Barnabas and Saul.
Amen.
The work whereunto to I have called them. Now look at me just a moment. Let me go this route and close it. We do believe in the rapture, say amen.
Yes,
we've been the judgment seat of Christ.
Yes,
I go a step further than most people does in this, but I believe there'll be a missions report time given at the judgment seat of Christ. Much emphasis God put on missions. You think you're going to just let it slide by? I don't believe that for one minute. If you think I'm dreaming, don't shake my hand. That church will wake me up. It's not a nightmare. I'm enjoying it. But can you imagine, God said, well, it's time now for a missions report. And he calls the leaders of the First Baptist Church in Jerusalem and said, give me your report. The leaders stand up and say, well, Lord, let me tell you about our miracles. You remember all the miracles you put? Let me tell you about our money. Tell you about our motive. God said, all of them are good in their place, but I'm now taking missions report. What did you do with the Great Commission? How much money did you collect? How much money did you send out? How many missionaries did you send out? Brother Hall, the church that could have had the crown of sending out the first missionaries and blowed it will have to back up in shame and hang their heads and acknowledge to God, we ignored the Great Commission. God said, thank you. You may sit down and call the First Baptist Church in Antioch and said, tell me what you did with the Great Commission. I wish I could whistle real shrill right now. I'd whistle real loud. Leader of that church, Brother Mike, said, hey, Paul, Barnabas, Silas, Mark, Timothy, Silas, Epaphras, all you guys come in here and bring your fruit. I wish I could run. I'm crippled tonight. I can't run. I wish I could run. Brother Herbert, when that First Baptist Church of Antioch brings their fruit, you know what? Me and you are going to get in line.
That's right.
All of us. We're all the fruit of the mission program of the First Baptist Church at Antioch.
That's right.
Can I remind you, Christ didn't start. The gospel didn't start in America. Started there in Jerusalem. They wouldn't do anything about the Great Commission, so God moves his headquarter operation down to Antioch.
Right.
And then from there, God sends out Barnabas and Saul. And you know the story, Paul, to make it in Acts 16, winds up over in Philippi, in Macedonia, in Europe.
Right.
And the gospel lay around there for a number of years. One day they put it on a boat and sailed it into America.
Right.
Up in the New England states, up on up into Rhode Island, back down into Virginia, Maryland, Virginia, on into North Carolina, South Carolina, across into Georgia, back into Tennessee. And one day, preacher, the gospel was delivered to my door.
Amen.
And I heard it,
amen.
And God saved me. I am a fruit of the First Baptist Church Missions Program of Antioch.
Amen.
And sir, I don't know about you from Papua New Guinea, but about all of us in here are members of the fruit of that.
That's right.
Brother Shepherd, you've trusted me this far. Here's my invitation tonight, and you can do what you want to with it in just a moment. For invitation tonight, give me some music, girls. Ladies, please. Somebody, just whatever, sister, all that's fine. Look at me just a moment. Now, Brother Shepherd, trust me. I'm not going to do you wrong, but I'm going to make a statement, two statements I got to make to set this thing up. For altar call tonight, I'm going to open the doors of the church. I'm going to open the doors of two churches. I'm going to open the doors of the First Baptist Church at Jerusalem. And I'm going to open the doors of the First Baptist Church at Antioch. Then I'm going to say to this crowd, something I never say again, watch me, join the church of your choice. Now, am I all right saying that? Y'all follow me now? Let me make sure you understand before we have altar call. The church of Jerusalem, they majored on miracles, money, multitude, no missions. The church in Antioch, I don't have to tell you, the first thing they majored on, preacher, was missions. The second thing they majored on was missions. The third thing they majored on was missions. We have no record of that church having miracles. Have a record of them having, I'm talking about like they did in the early church, have a record of them having a pile of money. A large monstrosity. But thank God they were mission-hearted and mission-acting people. And that great church at Jerusalem became a late church. It died. The First Baptist Church at Antioch became God's headquarters. Can I make one more statement? I'm already in trouble, so one more statement won't hurt me. But Shepherd, if I understand it right, I believe all the Scripture were written by the Jews. But God wouldn't let that Jewish church produce a Bible. It came out of that church at Antioch. It's a big statement, but it's a big truth. I'm telling you, you're committing spiritual suicide when you commit the tragedy of missing missions. Let's stand together, please. Thank you for staying with me. I know I preached long. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I just simply want to give an invitation tonight. You make a choice. You say with Joshua, as he did in the last chapter, as for me and my house, we're going to be involved in carrying out the Great Commission. We're going to serve the Lord. I want to lead my church as a pastor. Can you say, I want to lead my church into a missions church, missions giving, missions hearted? I don't want to be one who majors on the physical and the temporal, but I want to major on the spiritual. The altar's open. If you need to come, be obedient to God. Father, honor your word. Use it to your glory. Thank you for help and strength to preach tonight. Use the word, I pray. Make it a blessing. Lord, bless all the men of God who will preach this week. Lord, I just simply ask you to do a work in all of our lives. We'll praise you for all you do in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed while she's still playing. The altar's open if you need to come.